Take your Bible this morning, and I want you to open to John chapter 21, John chapter 21. And this morning, we are going to have the next to last message in the Gospel of John. We've been studying the Gospel of John verse by verse, chapter by chapter for many months now. And this morning, we're going to look in verses 1 through 17. And then next week, we'll conclude our study of the Gospel of John, beginning in verse 18 through the end of the chapter. And then I'm really excited. During the month of December, the Lord has given me a series of messages, the treasure that we're going to study, Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to learn about what happened and how Jesus is our greatest treasure as we look at the experience of Jesus with the Magi. So I'm looking forward to sharing that, and I'm so glad that you're here this morning as we open God's Word. In a few minutes, we will get to John chapter 21, but before we do, I want to share a few introductory remarks and things that I think are important to our getting there. Do you remember the first time you told your spouse that you loved them? Now, I don't mean this morning. I mean when you were dating or courting or whatever phrase you want to use, do you remember who said, "I love you" first? Do you remember? Anybody remember? Honey, do you remember? I'm sure it was me, but... And you know how that felt, didn't it? To hear someone say, "I love you." But you also know that love is more than an emotion, isn't it? We know that there are four different Greek words for love. There are three primarily that we're familiar with that we often think about. There is eros, which is erotic type love. There is phileos, which is brotherly type love. And then there is agape, which is godlike love. Now, I will counsel people occasionally that come to me, and maybe the husband or the wife will say something like this: "Well, I just don't love my spouse anymore." Well, the reality is, if that's what they're saying, then they're stuck in human kind of love, and they haven't grown into godlike love, because God calls us to love our spouses with godlike love, not merely physically and emotionally. Would you agree with that? It's interesting, because in a moment we're going to hear Jesus ask Peter, "Do you love me?" Now, I want to begin by telling you that we need to be very careful, because when you come to John chapter 21, it is what is known as the epilogue to John chapter 20 and what precedes, because the first 20 chapters of John is the primary content, and John chapter 21 is the epilogue or the ending to this narrative that John gives. And when we go to chapter 21, it's Jesus showing up and restoring Peter to a right relationship with him. Now, aren't you glad this morning that Jesus doesn't leave us where we are, but if we know Christ and we begin to drift or wander away, that Jesus is willing to lovingly lead us back into a right relationship with him? Aren't you glad he loves you that much? But we need to be very careful. There is a danger in drifting. For many of you, you probably remember the 1960s show Lost in Space. Anybody remember that show? All the old people. And I remember that show. And there was a robot that used to say, "Danger, Will Robinson, danger," anytime there was danger afoot. The Bible gives us several warnings. One of those is the danger of drifting. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2. "For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, that we do not drift from it." Now, if you're in a inner tube and you're on a creek or a river, you're going to float which direction? Against the current or with the current? With the current. If you're going to get back up to the headway of the water, you're going to have to go against the current. And I'm telling you that if you're going to stay close to Jesus in these days, you're going to have to be sure that you are not going with the current of the cultural tide that is around us. But I want to tell you, there's another danger. And it's not the danger of drifting, it is the danger of assuming. It's what Peter did. As a matter of fact, when you turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want to show you what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He's using Israel as an example for the new church in Corinth. And he says to them in verse 1 of chapter 10, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Then look at verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There is a danger in drifting. There may be someone here that says, I used to have a deep devotion and passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be honest, I'm kind of drifting away in my relationship with him. But there's also the danger of assuming, and that is there is an arrogance and an overconfidence spiritually that can get you into trouble. Like the person that says, I would never have an affair on my spouse. Be careful. Take heed lest you fall. Oh, I would never stop attending church. Why don't you ask that of the 30% of church attenders that have stopped attending completely since COVID? Oh, I would never do anything unethical. Ask David, the shepherd boy, if he ever thought he would have fallen. You know, some of God's greatest servants fell in the last half of their life. There's not only a danger in drifting, but there's a danger in assuming. And that assuming often comes because we have an arrogance or an overconfidence about where we are spiritually. That's what happened to Peter. Matthew 26, Peter said to Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. But he did. In Mark 14, 29, Peter said to him, even though all may fall away, yet I will not. But he did. Luke 22, 33, he said, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. See, Peter was saved, but Peter was not where he ought to be in his relationship with Christ when Jesus was arrested and he denied him three times. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you where you ought to be in your relationship with Jesus Christ? If you would, stand for the reading of God's word this morning, John chapter 21. Follow along as I read aloud. And after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, you do know they call it fishing, not catching, right? I'd prefer it was catching, not just fishing. But anyway, that's another story. I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? They answered him, no. He said to them then, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed upon it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. God bless you. You may be seated. Peter was saved, but he wasn't where he once had been, and he knew it. And the amazing thing is that after the resurrection, this is the third occurrence where Jesus had made himself known to the disciples, and he reveals himself, and he turns his attention to Peter. And he asks him three times, do you love me? Now I want to ask you a question. Are you passionately in love with Jesus? And is that love being manifest in your life? I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, do you tithe? All those are important things that indicate our love for Christ. But you know, you can do a lot of those things and not be in love with Jesus. Are you passionately in love with Christ? And is it manifest in your life? I want to give you a couple of evidences that show that you may not be where you ought to be. These come directly from the text. Number one, have you knowingly sinned against the Lord and not sought repentance? Have you knowingly sinned against the Lord and not sought repentance? Peter had denied Christ three times. And Jesus comes and invites him to restore the relationship And you're going to see this in a moment, but I want you to ask yourself the question, is there anything in my life that I know I have knowingly sinned against the Lord and I'm really not repented? If so, you're not where you ought to be. The second thing is this: have you regressed in any way, manifesting more of the old man than the new creature that you are in Christ? Now, scholars have debated whether or not there was anything wrong with Peter going back to catching fish. Now, in itself, there really wasn't anything wrong. As a matter of fact, they're in Tiberias, and this is the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, through the angels, had actually said for the disciples to go into Galilee and they would see Jesus there. So we understood they were going where Jesus had told them to go. But it is interesting that, first of all, he does say to him, Simon. He doesn't first call him Peter. Simon was the name of the old man rather than Peter, who had become the new man. And it seems like Peter had regressed, and that when he denied the Lord, he cursed, he had anger, he had denial, he had all of these things. And now when the opportunity arose, maybe out of boredom, I don't know. I can't say explicitly that it was in a desire to go back to an old way of life, but it would seem to indicate that the old way of life was drawing Peter back rather than waiting on the Lord. He led others astray. And I want to ask you a question. Are there areas of your life that have regressed into the old person that you used to be before you knew Jesus? If so, you may not be where you ought to be. But I have good news this morning, and that is that Jesus lovingly led Peter into a restored relationship. And whether you find yourself in the danger of drifting right now spiritually, or whether maybe you're in the danger of assuming you have a spiritual arrogance about where you are in Christ, or maybe you're overly confident and you think, well, I would never fall, or I wouldn't walk away from Jesus. The Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. But I've got some good news for you, and it's bound up in this very key thought, that when you and I have drifted in our love for Jesus, he will lovingly lead us into a restored relationship with him. Isn't that good news? I don't think you think it's that good of news. Let me tell you again. When you have drifted in your love for Christ, Jesus will lovingly lead you back into a restored relationship with him. Is that good news? It is good news, isn't it? Now, I want to show you two things from this text that I think can help you know where you are and make sure that you're on the trajectory that God wants you to be. And we're going to walk through this passage to get there. Listen to this. Jesus will lead you into a restored relationship that is marked by repentance, humility, and obedience. So how does he do that? Well, in chapter 21, I realize there's a lot to cover in the first verses, but we're going to focus primarily beginning in verse 12 through verse 17. Jesus shows up on the shoreline. He enables them to catch this massive amount of fish. They come to the shore, and Jesus is already cooking breakfast. And what does it say? Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Do you notice that Jesus is the one that initiated the encounter with the disciples? What a blessing it is to know that even when we have sinned and rebelled, and even if we're running dry, that it is Jesus who is always pursuing, Jesus who is always wooing, and ultimately Jesus who is winning us back to himself. Aren't you grateful that the God of heaven never stops seeking us who are his children? So how does Jesus lead us back? First thing he does is he calls us. See, there's somebody listening to me online, or there's someone in this room this morning, and you know that you're not where you might ought to be in your relationship with the Lord, but you're here, and I'm so glad you are. But you know what God's doing? He's using this preacher through the teaching and preaching of his word to call you back to himself. Not only does Jesus call us, but Jesus also convicts us. When you come to this passage and Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" It's interesting, and you'll want to know this. The first thing Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" Peter responds, "Lord, you know that I phileos you." Jesus, the first two times he asked the question, uses the word for godlike love, that is agape. And every time Peter uses the word for brotherly love to say, "I have affection for you. Lord, you know I have affection for you." What's interesting is when you get to this passage and you see this, Jesus says, "Do you love me supremely more than these?" Jesus says, "Do you love me unconditionally?" And then he asks, "Do you love me obediently?" He doesn't address him as Peter, he addresses him as Simon. John R. Stott said, "Before Jesus can be followed and served, the sin in our lives has to be addressed." And in these verses, when Jesus asks him the question three times, notice what happens in verse 17. Peter was grieved. Now, I want you to understand something about Jesus restoring us to our right relationship. Jesus is going to call us back to himself, but the way that he calls us back to himself is through the convicting work of the Holy Spirit that shows us, listen to me, that shows us what it is in our life that has caused us to either drift or to be in danger of assuming something in our spiritual life. You can't be restored to a right relationship with God without dealing with any and all sin issues in your heart and in your mind. So when God not only calls us, he also always involves conviction, because what God is wanting to do is show us anything that may be prohibiting us from being in that relationship that we really know that we long for and want in our life with him. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you like Peter? "Lord, I'm never gonna stop following you. I'll die with you." But along the way, although you attend church and although you do religious things, deep in your heart you know, "Lord, I'm not where I need to be. And I never dreamed I'd find myself where I am." Jesus calls. Jesus convicts. But it's interesting because Jesus commissions. Remember, I said that Jesus will lead you into a restored relationship that is marked by three things: repentance, humility, and obedience. Because every time he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he would give him a command: "Feed my sheep. Lead my sheep." Different words are used in multiple occasions in this passage. But the essence is, Jesus did not leave him with his need for repentance. He led him to a place of obedience. You see, the way that you and I get restored in our relationship with God is not just by recognizing there's something wrong in our relationship. Repentance means to do an about face. Sometimes we think repentance only applies to some gross immorality in our life. Do you realize that sometimes we need to repent of our indifference to our relationship with Jesus Christ? And that means when we do an about face, we have an obedience issue. I need to begin reading my Bible. I need to begin spending time in prayer. Or maybe there is a sin I need to stop and start doing something differently. Maybe we need to be like the scripture says, to him who knows what is right and doesn't do it, it's sin. Maybe it's not that you're doing something. Maybe it's that you're not doing something that God wants you to do. But the good news is that just as Jesus came to Peter, who had denied him three times, Jesus steps in and he leads him into a restored relationship, but he does so by bringing Peter to a place of repentance, humility, and obedience. First statement, Jesus will lead you into a restored relationship marked by repentance, humility, and obedience. The second statement I want to make is this. Restoration requires you to respond to Jesus drawing you to himself. And it starts with confession. Notice what happens in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know." Then look what it says later in verse 17. "Lord, you know all things." When God steps in and speaks to us about where we are in our spiritual life, he calls us, he convicts us, and he commissions us to a place of obedience. Our response to his drawing us to himself, first and foremost, requires what we call confession. See, Peter didn't make an excuse. Peter didn't argue with him. You know, "Lord, I've always loved you." What did Peter say? "Lord, you know all things." When we confess, what we're really saying is, "I agree with what God says about what he's shown me in my life. God, I agree with you. I've been arrogant. I've said to people I would never fall morally, and I did. Or I would never do something like that, but I have. God, I agree with you about what you say about my life." Confession. But it also requires you to respond in repentance. You say, where do you see this repentance in Peter? Well, if you read this passage of Scripture, it's very interesting. I think there's two ways that we see this. When it says in verse 17 that Peter was grieved, the word for grieved there is to have great emotion, to be despondent, to be overwhelmed by something. And literally, the three times that Jesus asked Peter was a reminder of the denials that Peter made about the Christ. But there's more than that. When Jesus said, "Do you love me?" he started with, "Do you agape? Do you love me with a higher kind of love?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I phileos. I have an affection for you." Second time, Jesus says, "Do you agape me?" again. And Peter again responds, "Lord, I phileos, I have a deep affection for you." And then the third time, Jesus moves down, and rather than using the Greek word agape, he uses the word phileos, and he meets Peter where he is, and he says, "Peter, do you phileos me?" And it's that third moment when Peter is so grieved. You know what I believe happened? I believe the reason that Peter likely used the word phileos before the arrest of Jesus, when he was saying, "I'll never fall away. I'll never deny you. I'm not going to be like the rest of these guys." If Jesus had said, "Do you love me?" at that moment, Peter would have said, "Lord, I agape you more than anybody else." But God had humbled him. And Peter had come to see himself for who he was. And he wasn't arrogant and overly confident anymore. He was confessing and repenting in agreement with God that he wasn't where he ought to be. And when Jesus said, "Do you phileos me?" it wasn't that Jesus was condemning him. Jesus was meeting him where he was and challenging him to the higher plane of God-like love. You see, yes, Jesus will lead us into a restored relationship, but we must respond to Him drawing us back to Himself with confession, with repentance, and with obedience. Feed my sheep. Someone said this, no one suddenly falls into a backslidden state. It begins with spiritual neglect of the little things. I think there's great good news in this passage. And I believe the great good news of this passage is that God loves us so much that He's unwilling to leave us where we are. If you're lost in your sin, the Bible says God loves you so much that He demonstrated that love towards you that while you were still a sinner, Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin, and He rose that you might have everlasting life. For those of us that are Christians and we're like Peter and maybe we're in danger of drifting or maybe we're in the danger of assuming that we're better off than we are, what God wants to do is God wants to speak this morning into each and every one of our lives, and what He wants to do is He wants you to see what He sees and for you to say this, Lord, I am not content to stay where I am. I don't want to just be a churchgoer. I don't want to just be religious. I don't want one day for my children and grandchildren to think, you know, Dad was a good man. I'm going to tell you, there's a far cry from being a good man and a godly man. Would you stand this morning? If you're online and you would like to speak with a pastor, we have a pastor that you can chat with and talk with. Here's the invitation this morning. Where does God find you in your walk with Him? Is the Spirit of the living Christ reaching out to you this morning and saying, you need salvation? You're uncertain of your eternal destiny and you need Christ. Would you like to come and speak with one of us and tell us you want to know Jesus? All across this worship center and online, there are many that more than likely what you need to do this morning is you need to come and you say, Daryl, I haven't done this in a long time, but you need to come to this altar and just kneel. I don't have to know anything. I'm not your priest. Jesus is your high priest. And maybe you just need to say, Lord, I've been drifting and I didn't even know it. God, help me. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Lord, I've been a little bit spiritually arrogant. I've kind of looked down on others that were struggling and I've kind of thought I was more than I am, and God, I'm really not. And I want to walk in repentance, humility, and obedience to you in my life. And if that's you, come from the balcony all across the floor. You just come to the altar. And if you want to pray with me or one of our pastors, we'll be glad to do that with you as well. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. And don't hesitate. You step out immediately. God, I pray that your Spirit will move in power. And God, that you will pour out your blessings on us for desiring to draw close to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.